Good afternoon. This has been interesting, sort of a fascinating gathering of presentations with really very different perspectives around public health and health education. This particular presentation is talking about a sort of beginning partnership and a beginning sort of exploration around the whole child, and we're going to delve into the education sector quite a bit. There we go. The objectives over the next couple of minutes is really to describe an initiative out of the education sector, which was a learning compact that also was framed as a call to action, and really the a very exciting thing, I think, for those of us working in health and have worked in schools for a long time. It's really a situation where the education sector, after working with schools for a long time as a public health person, saying, you need us in health if kids are going to learn. This is a wonderful document where a group of very wonderful people came together, bright education leaders, health leaders came together and said, education saying to health, we need you for our kids to be educated. The second objective is really looking at that rationale, why should public health be involved in an education agenda, and then look at the framework that we've begun to develop around some of the actions that could happen in public health to support an education agenda and look at the whole child from both perspectives. Give you a brief understanding of sort of where this came from. The Association for Supervision and Curriculum Development is really a think tank in the education community. They like to say have more superintendents than the superintendent organization, more principals than the principal organizations, and they're really on the cutting edge of professional development in education. And they stepped back, and they recognize something that we would all recognize, whether in education or not, that for the next, for really the 21st century, we need new kinds of graduates. We need to move beyond literacy and numeracy. We need to have graduates who think critically and analytically. They need to be able to be innovative and creative. And the education system, as a group, looked at this and said, you know, we absolutely need to figure out how to address this in the best possible way. On top of that, we all know this information probably too. We see it in the paper that high school graduation rates are not where we would want them to be in the U.S. We have millions of high school students dropping out, and the Association for Supervision and Curriculum Development sort of stepped back and said, you know, what can we do? If we pull people together, how can we begin to fix the system? And because the education system's struggling, one of the things that happened with that is they said, you know, what if we put the child in the center, and we asked, what are the best things we can do for children? And there's a lot to be learned, I think, in health for us to also ask that kind of question. But this is the education system. It's a good model for us. The Commission on the Whole Child that they pulled together were not just educators, but they were folks that came from a variety of areas, including health, very interested in children. They put the child at the center, and they came back with a call to action that sort of described successful learners as being knowledgeable, emotionally and physically healthy. So that's kind of fascinating. That's coming from an education initiative. Civically active, engaged, and prepared for self-sufficiency and ready to move into the world as very productive citizens of the country. And the compact, when it boiled down to it, they had came up with sort of five premises. And for those of us that know the literature, all five of these actually have a health component. The first one's obvious, each student entering school healthy and learning about practicing a healthy lifestyle. That's entering school at kindergarten and also entering school every day, being healthy. And then that's going to be important to the education community to reach their goals of high school graduation and academic achievement. Second one has to do with being physically and emotionally safe, which we know is hugely connected to the work we do in public health. Each student is engaged in learning, connected. And those of us that have studied some of the youth development literature know that connectedness, looking at those correlations between connectedness and health behaviors later on. Also linked with a qualified and caring adult, we know that that has some health implications. We know the data on that. And the fifth bullet is a little more buried, but each graduate is prepared for success in college or further study and for employment. We can sort of see the health connection, but when you go deeply into this, and the education folks that put this together and listed out some of the details, this is where health education falls. And they said that is part of really being prepared, and that's part of having the challenging curriculum. So what we're starting to look at is how education achievement and health are really interrelated. Many of us know some of the data related to graduation from high school, and currently high school graduates have an increased lifespan. We know that's critically important for our public health goals. Health is in the mix of root factors related to dropping out of school. We can look at things very obviously like teenage pregnancies, but we can also look at illnesses such as influenza or caring for multiple siblings and things, and we can see health sort of flowing into that one. Coordinated school health programs are linked to academic achievements, and there's a lot of work coming out of CDC showing the link between physical education and between nutrition education and test scores. And grades. And so here is the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, and you can see some of the information related to kids that get mostly A's and B's and lower risk behaviors as opposed to the kids getting D's and F's, and across a whole range of behaviors. So we're linked and we know it. We've begun by putting together sort of a bit of a flow because we wanted to sort of say this is important. It's important to the health community that we actually contribute to the education outcomes. And what would that look like if we really did it? So this is a beginning, some beginning thoughts. So you can see the health and the education guidelines and the education best practices flowing into those five learning compacts there. And then health outcomes and academic outcomes being interconnected, high school graduation, and then high school graduates and better health outcomes. And you can see, even if we step back in a very simplistic level, we'd say, we're, in many cases, the hard-to-reach kids, the kids that are hard for health and hard for education, those are the same children. Partly what we did as a start, we were looking at public health and we were saying it's not clear that we in public health, we often deal with parts of kids. We don't deal with a whole child either. So we pulled together an internal conversation at CDC, and a few folks are here that help with this, and we looked cross-agency and pulled people that were working on infectious diseases and various chronic diseases and injury, and everybody came together and we basically started to build our capacity to think holistically about children and what would that look like. And we thought, you know, instead of just doing this cold, let's look at education. And it became a very rich conversation. Look at how education had the conversation about how do you put the child at the center and what might we do in public health, and how can public health actually move a bit beyond our outcomes to think in terms of contributing to education outcomes. There's some fascinating bits of information. Some of this, those of you all that work in school health may know the an initiative to really build coordinative kind of structures in schools, school health councils. And right now, the school health policies and programs study that CDC does indicates that about 73% of school districts say they have some kind of council, some kind of gathering of community school people to begin to look at health policy and programs and coordinate them. But out of those 73%, amazingly, only about half of them, where they said they had a council, only half of them actually had a health department representative, which, you know, if you're coming from public health and you're working in a health department, that seems pretty amazing. But here's a wonderful mechanism for public health to be sitting at a table, and if there are health issues that seem to be valuable to a school, this is the context for doing it. It's a education body that would be looking towards how do we perhaps integrate health and using the resources in the health department, the wisdom of the health department, really to help guide that. I'm going to go through some sampling of ideas. We took the five compacts that the education community put out, and they said this is what we need to have higher academic achievement and better high school graduation and really kids that can function well in the society, and that's our task. And a call to action to public health, say, if this is what we want, what might public health do? So we started, in a way, brainstorming. These are very much samples of ideas. Many schools are not aware of the CDC guidelines for tobacco use, physical activity, nutrition, safety violence, so that expertise, lending that. Looking at different school health assessment tools, health departments be taking the lead and showing how schools might be able to do that. At the same time, recognizing schools are often very busy and worked, how can the health department contribute to the initiative to help the academic achievement and the health outcomes, but doing it with some of the tools we have. You see, we even have things like SCHIP enrollment in here. the other ideas and other sort of sampling ideas, looking at sort of in the safe, emotionally safe for students and adults, and this worksite wellness for school staff might be on that list, simply because schools are often the largest employer, and especially in small towns in the United States, but also some of the different types of assessments specifically related to the environment. Other public health roles with schools might include looking at after-school programs and looking at mentoring possibilities. Qualified caring adults, this may well be where the counseling services happen, and looking at ways to build the health department connections with other types of agencies that may be able to work with schools around vulnerable children. And finally, the piece related to being prepared for college and further employment, looking at the national health education standards. In many ways, the health departments have a lot of potential to come in and sort of say, how can we work with you on your agenda towards the whole child, because it's of importance to us too. And I've listed resources. We have some handouts in the back that would include these websites for those of you all that don't know that. Happy to talk further about this. We are just at the beginning. There are a number of people, both the co-authors are here in the audience, can answer questions both from the education perspective and the education sector perspective at CDC. And we also have a handout on the whole child work that the ASCD, the Association for Supervision and Curriculum Development, did. Thank you.
And lastly, David. Oops, this is going the wrong way. What's going on? Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Technology.